My name is Chris Wentworth. As most of you know, I've been coming to this Bible study about a year. I was trying to figure out when I started, but it was in June because Joe and I played in the FCA golf tournament in May, and then I started coming like 2 weeks later. So I've been with you guys about a year. I was originally born and raised in Millersville, Maryland, which is about 12 minutes south of Baltimore. So I always just say from Baltimore, Maryland. Baptized Catholic, had godparents, grew up in a pretty lower middle class area. And where I grew up, you were either Catholic or Jewish. You know, we interacted in high school and in elementary school with a lot of Jewish kids. We went to bar mitzvahs. We went to, Hanukkah parties. There were even some mixed marriages where I grew up where they celebrated Christmas and Hanukkah, which I've always thought was kind of weird to me even back then. So growing up, I grew up in a pretty lower middle class house. My dad was a math teacher and a coach that won state championships in football. Pretty controlling, pretty competitive. I would always say the relationship I have with my dad to this day has always been one of a competitive relationship. My sister, real competitive, she's a pediatrician, and the house I grew up in, there was never a Bible. None. But me, my mom, and my sister, not my dad, went to church every Sunday, went to CCD, made my first communion, confirmation. I took it so serious that I copied a confirmation book. My mom was a sponsor for somebody else. So I copied a confirmation book. Didn't really know what was going on with all the rituals and stuff. But believe it or not, as a Catholic, up until I found God, I actually went to confession. You know, I actually went. And as you hear my testimony, I'll tell you some of the stuff I used to confess to priests and when the light actually came on. But got pretty good grades in school. Was blessed to be a really, really good athlete. Coached a lot by my dad, and I had a great dad. My mom didn't work to support our house, but he wasn't always the best father per se. He would help me study for a test. If I got an 88, he'd be like, "Man, I can't believe you missed that. You should have got a 95. always kind of made us feel inferior, including my mom. So playing sports, go 2-for-4 in a game, 2-for-4 in a baseball game is really good. And, why didn't you get a hit here, get a hit there? Those sorts of things. Also really close to my grandparents. My grandmother was a Jew who became a Christian to marry my grandfather, and they disowned her. And my grandfather actually was one of the few people who went to a Methodist church. So my grandfather, my father's father, was a Christian up until his dying day. So that was my childhood. Really good at sports. I was all metro in two sports, football and baseball. Had the opportunity to go to University of Maryland on a baseball scholarship. But during all this time, I was never really happy. I never felt great about myself, even though I was getting good grades. I'm playing real good in baseball, and football and wrestling. Never felt really good about myself. Felt like I was never really pleasing my parents. Didn't really get much out of church. Like I said, as I got older, middle school and high school, going to Sunday school was just a way to meet girls from different schools. And had a steady girlfriend throughout high school. So my life in high school was pretty normal. Got a scholarship to college to play baseball at the University of Maryland and got recruited by a bunch of other schools. And I went to University of Maryland so my family could watch me play baseball. So I go to University of Maryland for 2 years and I start to begin to have arm problems. And I've never had arm problems before, and this is like 1991, 92, so there's not the technology that there is now. So growing up, I played a lot of travel baseball. Between junior and senior year, we won the CABA National Championship in Texas. Went on the road, stayed in a hotel. After senior year, we won the American Legion National Championship. So I had a pretty structured, life as a kid. Didn't have to have a lot of fun, but here I go to college, I have freedom. And I kind of thought college academically was a joke. I mean, you show up for class 3 hours a day, and then you do your homework for 2 hours, and then you go to practice, and then, well, you party. I didn't have God in my life. So from the time I graduated high school in 1990 up until I got married to my wife in 1999, I did not set foot in a church for 9 years other than weddings, funerals, Christmas, and Easter when I was home from college. What I did do is all of a sudden I learned what partying was, and I learned what womanizing was, and I learned what being a star athlete was. So during that time, I would say my gods were pretty much baseball, partying, alcohol, and thank God I never got into drugs. So those are my things for 2 years in Maryland. Guys on the baseball team, how many girls can we hook up with this weekend? Let's see if we can hook up with two girls. And then the girls would leave, and I would feel, like, really bad. I was like, wow, almost like a depression where you want to, like, cry. And I would feel guilty that I wasn't acting like the way my parents raised me. So after my second year at Maryland, I started having really bad arm problems. And my baseball career was kind of going down the tube. And my first year there, I made Dean's List. But my second year, I did horrible. I decided I wasn't going to go to class, and I was just going to play baseball and, you know, party and womanize and drink. And decided I was going to transfer to Shippensburg University in Pennsylvania, a strong Division II school, with the coach that recruited me. So I go up to Shippensburg, and after fall ball, my arm was dead. My arm was shot. My baseball career was done. So what I did is I pledged a fraternity, a fraternity made up of quote-unquote alpha males, where, once again, partied. Never an alcoholic. I had my wits about me, but if you were like a counselor, you would probably say I abused alcohol. I was the guy that would go the whole week without drinking, but boy, when I drank, four guys would sit in my college apartment and pound off a bottle of Rumpelmans before we went to a party or something like that. No spiritual guidance at this time. Have a horrible grade point average, almost failed of school. I come home and my dad's like, look, Chris, he goes, you've lost your scholarship because of your arm, and, you know, you've been an A student your whole life. This summer, you're not going to go live down the beach with your friends. That's what people do in the Northeast. And he said, you have one of three jobs that you're going to do. So he gave me drywall, painting, or laying tile. So that summer, I painted houses and got the best tan of my life and got in best shape of my life. And I came back to college, and all my friends were like, wow, what did you do, work at the beach this summer? I was like, no, I painted houses. my dad goes, Chris, that's going to be your life. You're going to be working a hard labor job, or you're going to join the service if you don't get your life together. I'm not telling you to not have fun, but you better be in school. And I never missed Dean's List the rest of the time because that little summer scared me enough. But it was always hard with my parents when I was home. They kind of wanted to control me. Didn't respect my freedom. I know it kind of bummed my dad out that my baseball career was done, my sports career was done. During this time also, my dad also got promoted to being a school principal, so he always kind of worshipped himself, and now he's really worshipping himself because people are reporting to him. And our relationship's always been kind of real argumentative, you know. If we're discussing, like, sports, he'll take a side. If we're discussing politics, he'll take a side. I've even invited him to come here a couple times when he's been in town, and he'll take a side. So it's it's kind of frustrating. But anyway, right after I got out of college, I wanted to go live on my own. I didn't want to go back and live with my parents. So I took a sales job in pharmaceutical sales in Devon, Pennsylvania, which is outside of Philadelphia, and moved in with two fraternity brothers. 1 year after college, I met my wife in the gym, who wouldn't go out with me at first because she sort of knew different circles, and she knew that I was always, you know, womanizing and hooking up with other girls. So it took me a good year of proving that I really liked her. So from that day forward, when my wife agreed to be with my girlfriend, I was never with another girl again. But my wife was 100% Italian, born in Italy, strong Italian Catholic family. So we get engaged in 98, and we start going to church again, the pre-Cana stuff. And I'm almost sounding like my dad at this point. Like, you know, what is this priest talking about? This is crazy. He has no life experience. He's telling me, you know, this, that, and the other. And I was just like, oh, this is brutal. I can't believe I'm doing this, but I'm going to do it for my wife. I'm just going to sit there and smile and not talk back and get married. So I get married, me and my wife.
What you do with an Italian woman? Don't talk back.
Yeah, exactly. So we get married and we start going to church every week. And at this time, I'm in my late 20s and, you know, now my God is in baseball and alcohol. My God is success. My God is being the most successful person out of all my fraternity brothers. My God is who can make six figures first. My God is who can live in the biggest house, who can go on the best vacation. That was my God when I got married. And my first year of marriage was hard, real hard, because I lived on my own. My wife had lived at home. My wife had a real good teaching job, and she was living her life, and I was essentially living mine. So we're married for 1 year, and we're essentially living two separate lives, and we would fight a lot over stupid stuff. And, you know, at one point at the end, my wife was like, you know, Chris, we've gone out for a long time, but this marriage thing just isn't working. And for the first time in my life, I actually got biblical, and I was like, look, we made a covenant. We made an agreement before God in front of our friends and family. This is the first time we've ever fought like this for 5 years, and, you know, we'll work it out. So it was kind of hard, those 4 years we lived in Philly, just transitioning from the college life to like real adult life. Also back to my dad. My dad was the kind of dad that would, excellent provider, but he was the kind of dad that would play basketball on Friday nights with his friend when my mom would sit at home with the kids, and then he would go out for a couple beers afterwards. You know, he would coach his football game on Friday night and then go out to coaches for a couple beers afterwards. Baltimore Colts season tickets out with his buddies, you know, social club with his buddies, and it was me and my mom and my sister a lot. And I got married. I sort of repeated that same pattern because that's, you know, kind of what I saw. Hey, my dad's married. I'm providing, go out, whatever. And I could see why my wife was getting ticked now, 14 years later as I'm talking about it. But we were going to church the whole time, and I was going to confession. And I was confessing all kinds of stuff. You know, Father, I was dishonest because I bent the truth at work. Hey, Father, I committed adultery because I thought that girl was hot that I saw walking down the street. Hey, Father, I have a drinking problem. I mean, it was crazy. I would go there every Sunday because I was going to church, and I started to feel guilt. So around 2001, I sold pharmaceuticals with Sharon Cloud to this doctor named Christopher Rohrbach, who was in Reading, Pennsylvania. And it's the first time anybody ever talked to me about God. And he gave me a Bible and, you know, asked me if I was ready to accept Jesus. And I was like, I accepted him. I was baptized when I was a month old, you know. I go to reconciliation, you know, whatever. So he wanted me to accept Jesus. And I argued with him and said I already received, you know, Jesus when I was born. And I've gone to confession and the whole Catholic thing you're brainwashed on. So from there, he gave me, that's how I got my first Bible, at a restaurant. And he was trying to tell me that I should accept Jesus because I'm on the road all the time. And, you know, God forbid if I crash, you want to know where you're going and so forth. And I would argue back. I'm going to sound like my dad. Like I was giving him the old Catholic, you know, hey, I go to confession every week. I'm good to go. So I started browsing through the Bible. There was no guidance on it. This was around 2001. Still going to the Catholic Church with my wife, you know, still, you know, having somewhat problems within my marriage, not really problems with like, hey, we're going to get divorced, but little arguments and stuff. And so I was doing really well with my job. And, you know, I took doctors. I mean, back in this time, you know, there was no limits on expense accounts. I mean, I took doctors to strip clubs. I took doctors to resorts. I took doctors partying. I took doctors at country clubs. I mean, I felt like I was turning into my dad, and it was really bothering me. You know, so 2002 is the first time I think I saw God actually, you know, in my heart and working in my life. I had the opportunity to get promoted, and I interviewed for a job down in Tampa, Florida, and the territory was Bradenton and Naples. It was a promotion. And the territory was horrible. It was just like last in the country. And the woman really wanted me to come down here, offer me the job this like October. I didn't take it. My answer was like, you know, I can turn around the territory, but I don't want to take over like Temple. There's no way, you know, I'm going to win down here and move my wife. So we go back to school in January of 2001. This lady calls and says, you know, Chris, we have not found anybody that we want as much as you. I want you to go up to New Jersey and talk to my boss and see. So I talked to my wife, and my wife, for the first time, my wife goes, this is God working. You know, let's go up there and see what this guy says. And we had a number in our head about, okay, this is our number to move to Florida. And the guy exceeded the number by. So we moved to Florida, and my marriage became awesome. My marriage became awesome because I think for the first time in our lives, we had to count on each other. We had no friends. We had no family, and we count on each other. So still going to the Catholic Church every week, but still taking doctors out, you know, football games, drinking, strip clubs in Miami, the whole deal. And then my wife becomes pregnant with my daughter in 2005, my oldest daughter, 2004. So New Year's Eve between 2004 and 2005, me and my friend Tom proceed to play golf all day, get so drunk, go to Tom's New Year's Eve party, drink a lot of Red Bull and vodka, and my wife's pregnant at the time, and she brings me home, and I never throw up, and I start throwing up, and my heart starts racing, and I'm like buck naked on the bed just screaming, saying, hey, take me to the hospital, I'm having a heart attack. My wife's kind of like laughing, saying, put on some clothes. And that is the first time I really kind of reached out to God and said, you know what, God, I've blown you off my whole life. If you let me live to see my daughter be born, I will not be my dad. I will cut out all this right now. That's 2005. So I kept my promise for 2 years. Didn't drink, didn't party, was around all the time. And then I got this job. When you're in pharmaceuticals, the next step up is to get into medical device. So I got this job with this company called Synthes Orthopedics, which is a Swiss company, and you're on call 24/7. So if I'm here with you guys right now and the NCH calls me, boom, I'm out. So my wife has this new baby, and then my other daughter was born in 07. So now I'm out all the time. I'm back in that loop of entertaining doctors, going, you know, all these conferences in Scottsdale and alcohol and strip clubs and residents and bottles and VIP service and the whole thing. And I just thank God I never cheated on my wife during this whole time. It's like I went to the bridge, but I would never jump off. So once again, I you know, was out of control, and I felt like I was out of control. And all I wanted to do was be number one. That's all I cared about, being number one, being the best, beating my friend up in Tampa from college who I got the job. So 2008, I was number one, got invited to this party in Vegas to see Kid Rock with my wife and another couple, went to see Kid Rock. And then 2009, my whole, like, life got rocked. Had a best friend in Naples, was a sales rep for Adams Golf, named Dave Thomas. And he was my golfing slash drinking buddy, but he was a great friend. And I went to lunch with him at Gulf Coast Town Center before he took me to the airport and route to Scottsdale. And I land out in Scottsdale, and I get off the plane, and there's like 35 messages on my phone. And I'm like, oh boy, what just happened between here and there? And, you know, David passed away at 45 years old suddenly, of either a heart attack or liver failure. It's still kind of unsure. So that happened on a Monday, and then a Wednesday I get a call from my dad saying my grandmother had passed away, my Jewish grandmother. So within that span of 2009, you know, growing up, I loved my grandparents more than anything. I would spend the night at their house any chance I got. When my father was being a controlling jerk, I always sought the love of my grandparents. And now my grandmother passed away, which was my last link, and then my quote-unquote best friend in Naples. So that's the beginning of 2009. And that's when the partying became really bad. You know, and I always had a reason to do it for free. I mean, I could take doctors out and write it off and top shelf, you know. So at the end of 2009, I remember the day, October 14th, I was doing an ACL case with Tom Parent down in Naples, and I got a call to rush the Lee Memorial. And at Lee Memorial, they never liked me or my company from jump. They had a guy there that really is an orthopedic coordinator to this day, even as a Christian. I don't think he knows what he's doing. And our company was a Swiss company. We had the best products. All the doctors were trained on it, and we charged the highest price. We didn't discount. And the first day I showed up to work 4 years previous, he had told me that you might be the nicest guy around, but I'm not going to give you a chance because you work for Synthes. Well, I was starting to gain a lot of traction. I took that from like $500,000 in sales to $1 million in sales. And that day I rushed up there. As a rep, it's common to bring inventory. So I brought inventory. The hospital had inventory. We were doing a rotator cuff case. I guess the boxes got all mixed up. And I charged them for an $190 anchor, which I would have made $19 off of. I charged them for an $190 anchor, and it was their inventory. So the next day, I go to my company's sales meeting, and I get a call from the hospital saying, why are you trying to bill us for something that's ours? And I said, well, it must have been a, you know, careless mistake. I didn't bill you yet because you never gave me the PO and I never sent it in, so you're not going to get charged. So I think it's done. That weekend, I go up to the University of Maryland for homecoming, golf, party with my friends. I come back on Monday and get this email saying I'm barred from going in Lee Memorial. So my boss calls me up and he's like, what's all this about? So I told him what it was about. So they do this big, huge investigation, and all these people that I thought were my friends, these doctors, and people really thought I was cocky and arrogant and kind of a jerk. And then the people within my company kind of thought I was cocky and arrogant and a jerk. And then all of a sudden I asked my wife, am I this person? And she goes, well, you know, Chris, you know, you love to be the best. You're not humble about it, and you carry yourself that way. And a lot of people like to hang out with you because you're a guy's guy, but I could see how it would probably rub some people the wrong way. So here it is. I have two kids. My wife's not working at this time. And I'm like, wow, I've never lost a job before. I'm like, how can I lose a job? I'm the best. I'm number one. I'm Chris Wentworth. So they have this big meeting down at Lee Memorial, and our VP of sales goes, and I don't even get a chance to go. So I was like, wow, I don't even get a chance to defend myself. So they don't fire me. They take all these accounts from me, which is making like $0. So during this whole time, I don't know whether I'm going to keep a job or not. So also during this time, we started going to the Methodist Church, North Naples United Methodist Church, because my kids were born, and I was like, all right, I want to raise my kids in a Christian house. I don't want to raise them in a Catholic house. I want to raise them in a Christian house, and you work here. My wife works over there at the Village School, so I'm like, all right, let's go to church here. I said, you work here, you know. So we go to church there, and I'm starting to get into the Bible now, but I haven't, quote-unquote, found God or accepted God. So finally, I couldn't live with myself anymore, and a friend of mine who runs his own church now used to run the contemporary service. I said, you know, Chris, I just cried to him. I bawled tears. I said, you know, I've been in, pardon my language, I've been an asshole for the last, you know, 12 years of my life, and, you know, this is what's going on, and I can't define myself by work anymore. I can't stand myself. I don't like the person I am. I'm turning into my dad. You know, my wife's probably going to leave me at some point. I don't care what happens with this job. I just need to be accepted by God. So I accepted Christ in church at an altar call that Sunday, and then joined the church. But I still didn't get baptized like the Bible calls us to do. So I started going to church. I started going to Bible study. And was living a quote-unquote Christian life. I thought I accepted Jesus, but biblically I really didn't because I didn't have a water baptism. So in 2012, in January, I just dropped my kids off at school, and I was going to a case at the Physicians Regional, and a Camry hits a big handicapped van, which hits a Ford Edge into a car, and I'm in the Ford Edge. And the next thing you know, I wake up at NCH, not remembering how I got there, with a fractional orbital bone, torn discs at L3, L4, herniations at C5, C6, and a very, very bad concussion. I couldn't even remember phone numbers, computer passwords, anything. So after I cleaned myself up through all this, I just prayed to God and thanked him. And I said, I know there's a lot of retribution that you're going to give me for the life that I've had. And I can deal with all that because I have faith in you. And I felt the calling at that time. I woke up in a hot sweat and heard this voice saying, you know, come to me, you know, you don't have to be anything but yourself. Just be a believer in God. And I woke up in a hot sweat. The next day, I called Pastor David Ames and said, hey, I want to do a water baptism. I'm ready to accept Jesus. And so in the middle of the afternoon at 2 o'clock, I went to the church. And Pastor Ted wanted me to wait to do it with the 8th graders because they thought it would make a good statement. And the problem was the 8th grader. The problem was is that the 8th graders were doing it for another 7 months. So I was kind of like, why would I want to accept Jesus now. So in January, I went to the Gulf of Mexico, and Pastor Ted Sauter and Pastor David Ames baptized me and in the water, and boy, was it cold, and well worth it. And my life has been one of a Christian life ever since. Is it perfect? No. But it's a lot better than what it was. You know, that Bible study that I used to go to at North Naples got sort of broken up. These guys almost formed like a cult and formed like a church. They were like heavy Calvinistic at the end and just went off the deep end. So I wanted to serve, so I became involved with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. So David Ames hooked me up with Gretchen Shelton, who was from Maryland as well. Kind of explained to her my testimony and said, you know, I want to be able to minister and help these kids, and hopefully they don't make the mistakes I do, and hopefully they find God, and it can be cool to be a Christian. So I formed a relationship with the Fellowship of Christian Athletes, started out as a team chaplain, and then Gretchen saw my passion for the organization and put me on the board. And then at a golf tournament last May, I was, you know, golfing with Joe Cleveland, and I said, you know, do you know of any good Bible studies? You know, I really am thirsty for the word. And he said, you know, we have this group on Fridays. Guys go to a bunch of different churches, have a bunch of different professions. They're pretty good guys. The teacher's amazing, whatever. So I was like, all right, I'll go. And that was a year ago this time. And branched out a little bit. Go to Chris's on Monday and try to live in the Word every day and try to be a good Christian role model. So that's it.
Awesome.
That was good.
Thank you. That was fantastic.